Yeah, she's not here to fuss at me. And Christine's gone all together. She can't throw anything
well,
at me.
Lori inherited the job from Christine.
Oh, okay.
When Lori's not here and I'm here, then it falls back to me.
Okay. It all just flows down to the least senior person gets the job. Huh? Okay. Gospel of Matthew. If I recall, there's more than one of these, right? More than one gospel. We talked about why that was. Each of the gospel writers, well, the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are all writing synopses of the Lord's life. There's no life of Christ in any of the gospels, but there are excerpts from it that develop the storyline that the author wants to develop. In our case, it's Matthew, and he's developing a Jewish storyline because he's a Jew writing to Jews. So his synopsis of the Lord's life features Jewish stuff. A lot of references to the Jewish covenants, to their Messiah, to the work that he's going to do, and things associated with the Jewish eschatology. And that's what we're getting in our study. Study Mark and Luke, you get a little different slant, but much of it is the same material with a little different slant on it. John's is different. John's is an apologetic. He's trying to convince the world that Jesus is the Messiah. He chose seven miracles and seven discourses to do that instead of using all 35 that he had access to. So ours is a Jewish theme, and we are in chapter 8 here this morning. Messiah has come, he has presented himself, and he has begun to teach the people what repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand means. And he's explaining to them what the kingdom would be all about if they would accept him as their long-awaited Messiah. The Messianic kingdom could have began at the first advent, but it didn't. We'll talk about that more as we go. So Messiah is demonstrating his power over various aspects of creation, which he can do. That proves that he is who he says he is. And so when we get here to chapter 8, verse 1, when he'd come down from the mountain, that would be the Mount of Olives where he gave his Sermon on the Mount, multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and bowed down to him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now this leper, he's the lowest rung on the Jewish social ladder. He is considered, because of his disease, to be unclean and cannot associate in the society of Jews with other people. He has to remain separated from them. He can't go in the temple. He, at times, has to announce himself to people approaching him on the sidewalk so they can get on the other side of the street. And so he is a wreck. Nobody wants to get near this guy. Yet he comes to the Lord and he says something here. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, how does he know that? We must know some of his Old Testament scriptures, but because there are gadzooks of Old Testament scriptures that says Messiah can heal. Now, I couldn't find one that said specifically that he can heal leprosy, but he can heal everything else. And this guy must have kind of extrapolated his disease and said, well, look, if he can do all that other stuff, he can fix me too. So he goes to Jesus. He approaches him and says, if you're willing, and that's the only thing that he questions. He's not sure exactly what the Lord will do or cares to do. So he kind of couches his request. If you are willing, you can make me clean.